You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is Pancakes and Bacon with VFL, Kyler Kurbison, and Reed Bacon.
Hello, Vol Nation. Welcome to another episode of Pancakes and Bacon. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Kurbison, joined with Reed Bacon. Got another great one. The Vols are going to the second weekend. How exciting. I don't know if that happens all the time with old Ricky B at the helm, but we are now going to the second weekend. Can't complain here. Me and Reed are going to break down the St. Peter's game, the Texas game, and talk about what we're looking forward to versus Creighton. Just let you guys know, I'm still looking to see if maybe I can get to a practice this spring, be able to break down some of the newcomers and see how maybe some guys have grown over winter workouts. But I'll definitely let you know if I'm able to skedaddle over to Knoxville and do that. But, yeah, let's get into the most important thing. Reed, how we doing, bud?
There he is. There's my main man, someone that I got to spend a lot of quality time with this weekend, which was incredible. I use the word incredible a lot. This actually was incredible. For those people like myself who skipped the intro, if you skip the intro, Kyler mentioned he's going to try to see, and in his words exactly, skedaddle over to Knoxville. And
that's right.
And see if he can make it to a spring practice, so that he can give you all the spring practice breakdown that we all love. And as he mentioned, see who's really improved size-wise over the winter weights. Winter weights. And then check out the newcomers, see how they're looking. So we will keep you all abreast of that. I will look to be back more action on social media once Lent's over. So just be on the lookout. I know that's really what you mainly care about. So Kyler mentioned that in the intro. We'll let you know about spring practice. Kyler, this weekend, for Pinehurst, my bachelor party, it was amazing. I had a great time. I'm actually genuinely curious about you now. You've been removed for a day or so. I just want to hear what you thought about, like, your experience.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, struggling getting back into the real world. Still haven't shaved my face in a week, haven't done a lick of laundry, got pimples all over the place, haven't worked out in a week. But by God, am I on this damn podcast talking about the Vols. Wi-Fi doesn't work. AT&T is bagging me right now. That's why it looks so bad on the YouTube. But we're fighting through. No, but for real, like, I very, very, very much enjoyed the trip. I'm not that great of a golfer. I'm still trying to, you know, really get into a 90 kind of range. I am majority over 100 whenever I golf. So when the weekend first started, I was a little down on myself because of the golf game, but had to just like remind myself, like, hey, it's okay. We're here to have fun. But man, it was so enjoyable just being around the boys, getting to just throw back a couple brews, nothing crazy, getting to watch some March Madness basketball every night, getting two Tennessee games while we're there. Just absolutely perfect timing. I know you didn't actually mean to do that, but it was incredible. Getting to hang out with all those guys, Austin, Bailey, Lou, Big Roberto, Tyler, Jack, Logan. It was awesome because some of those guys, like, I've hung out with before, but not a lot of time. And I got to spend a lot of time with Logan, and then got to spend more time with Austin and Bailey that I hadn't before. So it was a great time. I very much enjoyed it. I'm glad, very, very glad that I went.
So, and that makes me excited to hear. It really does. I mean, I thought you had a good time. I mean, I thought the group meshed really well, which I knew they would. Yeah. I was not worried about anybody getting – I was never worried about people not getting along at all.
Well, but, unless Roberto doesn't get to ride with Lou, but
by the way, when we say Roberto, we're talking about my dad, Robbie, but we call him his alter ego is Roberto Roberto. But yeah, I never thought the group wouldn't get along. And but you want to see how they mesh. But it was as fun as the golf was for me. I mean, growing up and being a golfer, I'm not playing good golf right now. It was funny. You looked at me when we were playing the Cradle, which is the short par three course at Pinehurst. And you're like, I was kind of dialed in, hit some good shots. You're like, where's this been? And I looked at you and I said, well, competition. And you caught me when I played with you and Logan and Tyler. It was very much a different vibe than when I am locked in trying to play really well on the other stuff. Now, I say that to say I still didn't play that good of golf. I had moments. I'm still really battling some issues off the tee, but it's still March for me. Like, I don't expect to be halfway decent until it's June and July.
I got nothing for you off the tee. I'm just trying to figure that if it's more than a par three, I don't know where that thing is going to go. I really hope it's a short par four. That definitely helps me out. If the fairway's nice and wide, that especially to the right, that really helps me out. So if I get lucky by how the course is made, then we might be good. But a lot of the times I'm.
Yeah, I don't want you to shortchange yourself though, because I mean, it was funny. We started off the Thursday morning and we're playing Pinehurst number two. It's our first course we're playing, and they're about to have a U.S. Open there in a couple months.
Yeah.
So like, they are very much getting ready for it. I mean, there's grandstands going up right now as we speak. I mean, there are people working, setting up the grandstands, getting everything ready, which for me as a golf fan, like walking that course, well, push carting that course, but getting to walk it and see, it was really, really cool, really beautiful. Like, I really enjoyed that. But like, that's a really, really tough golf course. I mean, one of my best friends who's on the trip is Jack, and we talk about him all the time on here, but like, he played high school golf. He played college golf. Like, he's an assistant pro at a country club. Like, that's what he's doing. His ultimate goal is to be a head pro at a country club. And he's a really good golfer. And it was blast watching him play that course and play the weekend. But, I mean, the course itself, you would see him hit a great shot onto the green. And all those false fronts and all how those greens were so hard and they wouldn't hold anything. And I say all that to say we finish up on number nine because we started on the back and you go up. And this is the first golf shot I've seen you hit, you know, the entire trip because it's our first round. And you go up to number nine at Pinehurst. Great swing, great shot. And it's like center green. I literally was like, let's go. I was like, come on now. And you turned around and your face was just so much frustration and so much just like it was worn out. I was like, come on, get fired up. And you're like, dude, you're like, you don't know how much like this thing's been wearing me out today. So
listen, I knew that day was going to be an issue. On the first hole, I ended up in the bunker after my fourth shot on a par five. I ended up in the bunker right before the green, and took me three shots to get out of it. So at that point, and then I get done with the second tee box and I'm walking down the fairway and my back is already starting to stiffen up. I was like, this might be a long one. I don't know how this is gonna go, but we'll figure it out.
You know, I think I can speak for myself and for us. I think we all got really lucky body wise. I mean, my knees, my back, my shoulder, my elbow, like everything was fine. The only thing that hurt me was my feet. From walking, I think you ended up pulling up well. But anyways, I say that to say, don't shortchange yourself. You still hit some really, really good quality shots. You got your par that you wanted. You had when we were doing our 2v2, you had a great birdie putt. But you were definitely one of the ones that, like, I mean, I appreciated everyone making the efforts to go. But, you know, Lou, Austin, Bailey, my dad, like, they, Pinehurst was a bucket list item for them because we're all golfers. You know, for you, it's like, hey, man, I started playing 30 minutes ago. I mean, legit, legitimately, you started playing golf, you know, a year or so ago. So to make the investment of time, energy, effort financially, but you were just like, the trip wouldn't have been the same without you, just like it wouldn't have been the same without anyone there. And like the best times were dinner and watching the games.
That's
and
true. Just
cracking up. So it's like the golf was great, but the best time we've always said, you and I have always said, you could take you and I and a couple of our friends, put us in a room with nothing on the walls, no TV, no windows, just give us four or five chairs and we're going to sit there and have a blast because we're just going to make each other laugh. So, exactly. You know, so it was great, but enough about the trip. Like you mentioned, we got really lucky with March Madness. We got really lucky that Tennessee played at night. Now, the St. Peter's game, your boy was pretty tired because it was some early mornings and some long days. But I think for me, the best thing about St. Peter's was it was a blowout. So I didn't have to stress. We watched the first half kind of together. And then I even went back and at the condo and said, hey, I'm going to go back to bed. And this was right after halftime restarted and we have the game in hand and I could lay in bed, kind of fall asleep as they handled it. And so that was the best thing about that is, hey, you're supposed to. Let's not make this more difficult than it needs to be. Handle business. I love how they started. And we're working ADU early. And so that for me, that was the best thing. I mean, I got the stats pulled up. You got Zakai with a double-double with 10 assists, 10 point, or 10 assists, 11 points. Dalton had his 23-8. And then you had ADU with 15-6. So it was like, okay, those three guys handled business. They did what they needed to do. We blew them out, and we could comfortably go on to the next round. I don't know what else you have to add about St. Peter's. Oh, by the way, I mean, St. Peter's was not a good basketball team either.
No, there were times watching I could kind of, I mean, tell. I'm like, they can't, like, they don't have enough in, like, their pants to be able to, like, hold up to ADU down low. Like, they just, like, there's nothing you can do. It was like, one time we played Austin East my redshirt freshman year, and we were up 45-0 at halftime. So the twos played the second half, and then Austin East started putting in.
Wait. Did you just say your redshirt freshman year on accident?
I think it was my redshirt freshman.
You said Austin East.
Did I say Austin East? I meant Austin P. A close second.
Hey, bro. Sorry. I just heard that. I was like, "Which is he talking high school or is he talking college? Where are we at here?"
Yeah. Redshirt freshman, college, playing Austin P, not the old AE over in Knoxville. Playing Austin P, they ended up like subbing in their twos, their threes towards the end of the game. And I remember like literally body bagging this dude that was lined up across from me. And I felt bad. Like, I felt bad for him. I've shared that story before. Like, landed on top of him, heard the air go out of him, heard him like, ugh. And I was like, that was too easy for me. Like, I feel bad that I did this to this guy. Like, he didn't need that kind of thing. And it almost felt like that watching it where it's like, I kind of feel bad for this guy trying to guard ADU. Like, he ain't got nothing in the – like, he can't do it. There's nothing he can do to change the fact that this man is a lot bigger than him. But I thought ADU did great. You know, I mentioned it a few weeks ago before we went to the SEC tournament of, like, this is the time where ADU can shine because people are paying attention to others. And I hope he's able to. He did very well in this game. I think there is a competition standard for the reason why he did so well. I very much enjoy that we just took care of business. That right there doesn't seem like a typical Tennessee basketball thing that happens in March. They don't just take care of the game, right? So it's like good to see that they took care of the game. Glad to see ADU doing some stuff. I got Zakai going for 10 assists on the night. Like that stuff is nice. It's really nice to see. It's really nice to see some of the play designs, some of the passes that Zakai's making, bounce passes. And, you know, St. Peter's was 29% on field goal percentage and 16% from three. It's like, you're probably going to do much, guys.
It set the tone for the night when we're at dinner and we get rowdy watching Kentucky lose. I mean, it was
rowdy.
Awesome. Awesome watching Kentucky lose. We all loved it. We were laughing, cracking up. It set the night. But it's also the perfect reminder that March Madness, anything can happen. We were driving down in the car. We were talking about it. I was like, it's March. It's Rick. I'm nervous. But I will give credit that, you know, last year we shouldn't have lost to FAU, but we still made it to the second round, or we made it to the second weekend, and we had the nice win against Duke. So it's kind of, there's a little give and take. I think we should have won this one, but he still gave me a great win. So whatever, going to this year, and it's like, you know, you go into this year and we're watching Kentucky lose. Oakland's a much better basketball team than St. Peter's, but you're still nervous until the game started off. You watched it. We got the good start and we kept it going. So that is what was so nice about St. Peter's taking that into the Texas game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna piggyback off right what you were saying about Adu, is I love to see that very early on they were trying to get it to him, they were trying to work it down low, and unfortunately it wasn't just him, but we couldn't make anything. And I came on last pod and said it is a make or miss game with basketball. Sometimes your shots are falling. Unfortunately, Tennessee has not shot well probably the last five or six games or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they made their shots for St. Peter's, but I'm with you completely. Like, I didn't feel like they were a good shooting team.
Correct. So you go, and I love how we start against – we try to get it in there with Adu, and I'm watching some – another thing is, by the way, I just forgot that I was going to mention with Rick is I am going to eat some of my own words. This year, I've been very impressed with some of our offensive plays where – we are getting guys open looks. They're missing them. And he is doing a really good job with some backdoor cuts, some pick and pops, some pick and rolls. I've been very impressed this year with some of the offensive, I guess, play calling, as you would call it. So I do want to give credit there, and you can see that stuff. But anyways, the Texas game, in a weird way, felt like it wasn't close, even though it was, and even though we weren't playing well at all and couldn't hit anything, we still had that little bit of that lead. And you really feel like if we had hit one or two threes with that 5-6, 4 minutes to go, then they wouldn't have made that comeback. But there's a little bit to, you know, Tennessee playing good defense helped. Texas being sloppy with the ball and giving us 20 points off turnovers. I said it when we were there, if I was a Texas fan, I would have been pissed, because I felt as a Texas fan, I would have felt like not only were we not hitting our shots, but we then gave Tennessee the game by being sloppy with the ball. Because like I said, we would play good defense. Other times they were just absolute lack of discipline and lack of concentration on some of their turnovers.
Yes. We had a ton of steals. Like a ton of steals, where it kind of made up for the lack of shooting in the first half, especially of we're not making anything, but by God, we're on defense and we're creating more opportunities for shots. Even though we're not making them, we're taking away opportunities for them, giving them to us. So the turnovers is what made the difference in the game, in the defense that we were playing. Like, both of those teams, it was an absolute dogfight to get points. It was wild how hard it was for both teams to get points. I do
want to shout out to early on in that game, my man Tobe.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he had some bad fouls where he
bad, just played. Stupid fouls. That's the part about it. I know you're good enough not to do those kinds of things, Tobe, and your offensive effort and your power and strength that you use when you're down low is like so valuable. I'm like, dude, please don't get in foul trouble. Just please be somebody who can give Adu a rest.
Yeah. But the thing is, he wasn't even giving Adu a rest. He was coming in and getting buckets. I mean, he was getting offensive rebound and putbacks. He was getting one, keeping ball up high, putback. He had a little turnaround. Like, I was getting daggum juiced. I'm sitting there watching little baby Zeebo, And so I was fired up. And the one thing that did crack me up is when he had those terrible fouls, and he was like, what? It's like, Tobey, you just murdered a human. Like, we all saw it. But
we all listen, saw you murder somebody.
You want to hear something funny with or a cool stat? Tobey played 11 minutes, and in 11 minutes, he had 10 points and 5 rebounds.
I mean, yeah.
That is doing your job.
Yeah, it just sucks you had 5 fouls in 11 minutes, too.
So then you got Dalton with 18. He couldn't hit anything from outside. He's 1 of 8 from 3. Thank goodness he had some putbacks. Rick got him open on a couple cutbacks. So it was nice. I mean, it was a very quiet 18 or a very stressful 18 for me, because every time he shot it, I felt like he missed it. Adu with 11. But double Z only going 6 points and 1 of 8 from 3, 2 of 12.
I wrote it down again.
But the guys,
Ganey and Zakai combined were 1 of 12 from 3. Yeah.
Not ideal.
That crushed us.
Yes. Yes. And listen, Ganey had some good shots that went in and out. They just popped in and popped out. Josiah did knock one down that was pretty clutch. Santi is still not him and not hitting the shots. But what I was going to say about double Z, playing 40 minutes, the guy is an energizer freaking bunny. And his energy and driving to the basket and making passes. And he's like a 7. He's like a 7.5 sometimes for me, where he drives in and he gets stuck and he'll throw it away or he'll make a bad pass. And then there's other times he goes in there and makes a great pass and someone gets an easy layup. It's like if he could just go from a 7 to an 8, 8.5 and having less, you get what I'm saying on his, when he's driving in.
I'm totally with you. It's like sometimes when he drives down there and you say like he gets stuck, that's what it looks like, that he's smaller than everyone and he gets down there and goes, oh crap, there's not a lane for me to throw this ball or for me to go, and I can't see where anybody else is. Like, I can't see a white or orange jersey. And then he's just like, turn around, look for a pass. And it never turns out well. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if that's just, hey, when you're another offensive player, when you're an Adu, get yourself open, make yourself available for him. Or if it is more of Zakai kind of getting ahead of himself before he's ready to, you know, make a pass.
I think that's a good point. I think it definitely is both. It goes on both. It's you see your quarterback scrambling, you got to get open and find a lane. And so when double Z's going in there, Jonas and even guards that could come in and back cut, or spot up for a shot. I mean, you have to get in his eyesight. You have to have good spacing. So I think it goes both ways. But just the fact that the man played straight 40 minutes and really was just the energizer bunny that we needed is, I don't want that just because he maybe didn't have the statistical game that we maybe needed. I still felt like he did enough other things that were, I mean, he ran the offense. He ran the team for, he didn't take a break. And so that's invaluable.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I also, you know, you talk about an effort guy and really showing some stuff. I mean, I got to shout out Meshack. Like,
oh yes,
man, when he's out there on the court, it's just like you see him flying towards the loose balls, see him flying around the edge to try and get open, to try and set a pick, to try and do something. And it's not always, hey, getting me the ball for me to shoot. It's, let me set somebody else up. Let me, you know, just the effort. You love it out of a guy like that. That's what you want on your team, to kind of lead everyone else by example. Even if Meshack isn't considered a leader on the team, where you would think Zakai, Dalton, Triple J, Viscovi, he's still a leader by what he does out there, right? I'm just going to show you the amount of effort that I can put in. Can you keep up with me? I mean, that's how I look at it. So Meshack might not have the best shooting, might not be able to make the most buckets, but he's going to give full effort all the time.
You just jogged my memory. I mean, you and I looked at each other on the couch at least three times and just smiled and was like, based off what he did. All three times were based on what Mayshak did and how he's making it. And I still think back to last year when he was – when Double Z went out and he was playing point guard for us. And I thought there were times where he did really, really well. And it would be awesome if he could have spelled Double Z some of that. But – I get it. It's, hey, Double Z's Gucci. He's fine. He's not tired. He doesn't need a breather or whatever. At least he doesn't feel that way. The coaches don't feel that way. And you still are getting Mayshak in the game to still be able to make an impact, even though it's not as a backup point guard or as a backup primary ball facility type deal. But you're right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, which I like. That's the thing about Mayshak. I don't necessarily see him as a point, like, I see him as a two or three. Like I don't want him to have the ball in his hand all the time. He was kind of forced into that last year when the guy got hurt. And I'd swear, like, if Mayshak is able to get his shooting down, he's going to be like, he is so dangerous, because there's just times like watching that game, you see Mayshak and you see Triple J and they're open for a three. They're open for a shot and they don't take it. They barely trust themselves when shooting those deep range. So it's like, if they can just hammer that down, it's so valuable, because a team can play you totally differently when they're on defense and they're like, two of your guys aren't shooting.
He doesn't even have to – I mean, we don't even have to say be a good shooter. He doesn't even have to be okay. He just needs to be serviceable. He just has to be like you're making a point where they can't just leave him fresh. he just can't be sitting there. To finish up, it did start. I did start getting a little nervous towards the end. Texas made a few of the plays they needed to, and there was a point there I was like, dang, we have a chance to lose this game. And then like I started getting that feeling. I was like, we're going to choke this, aren't we? We are going to choke this. Even though both teams, it was an absolute rock fight. It was an absolute fist fight. And both teams necessarily didn't deserve to win. After all those turnovers and missed shots by Texas, I was like, dang, they're really going to hit these last few. We're going to choke it away. And it's going to be a bummer. And I really, like I said, a minute, 2 minutes, a minute, 30 seconds, however long it was, they missed. We got the rebound, and we get it in, and Jonas catches it. And everyone in the room's like, "No, how do you go to Adu? He's the worst free throw. He's the worst percentage free throw player on the court." And I said, I told the room, I said, "Yo, like, I know." I said it. I was like, "I know that he might only be 56 or 60%." I said, "But weirdly, I have seen Adu when he needs to step up to the line and be ice." Just like I said about Zakai when we were arguing with the guys on the trip that were like, they're not Tennessee fans, but they're saying that, you know, they don't think Zakai's very good. I said, Zakai might chuck up and he might be 2 of 8 or 3 of 11, but one or two of those shots were massive. You know what I mean? Massive times in the game, massive points, whatever the case may be. And when Jonas caught that, everyone's like, oh no, like we at least need one. I said, yo, chill out. I just had a feeling that he has that ice in him, just like I believe that with Double Z, even though if Dalton goes, I'm telling everyone in the room, if Dalton's up there, we're getting one of one. And it wasn't one in one. So if he missed the first, we don't get either of them. If he makes the first, he's missed the second, because that's just what I have seen all year long. And so Jonas caught that and they got it into him. He buried those two. And it's like, wow, thank goodness we got away with this one. And I don't know how you were feeling towards the end of it.
I was very nervous. I was in the same boat. You are, here we go again. Right. We're about to do the same thing that we've always done. And we choked. But now you look at it, and we didn't choke. We changed the narrative that we're set in, this Tennessee basketball narrative of choking away your opportunities. You led the game 90% of it, and then you let it up at the end. That part made me more excited for this weekend. that is one of the reasons kind of before when I said I was more nervous that we would lose the second game than the third or fourth. Didn't matter who the opponent was. I just felt that it's like this hump to get over to get to the next weekend where we really do kind of just let it go. Like, let it just fly away from us. We don't fight for it. These guys fought for that. At the 150 mark, Texas cuts the lead to 2. And what do we need? A basket. Or a defense. We don't get a basket, so go back on defense. Play great defense. Block at the rim. Get the ball back. We end up shooting free throws. I think Adu tried to shoot some free throws, and then he makes one, misses the other. So now it's a three-point game. Texas goes down. We defend. Triple J gets a rebound. Jump ball. Tennessee ball. Then we set up a play to Adu, dunk, and it gets blocked. And then Texas gets the ball. They score. And
that was a hell of a block, too.
Yeah, heck of a block. Heck of a block. We come back down, set up another great play for Adu, where Zakai bounce passes it to him after a pick and roll, and Adu gets fouled on the dunk. So then it's like, holy crap. Like, we're setting up really good plays. We're not letting Texas score the basket, and then we go down on offense and shit the bed. We're actually doing good stuff on the other side.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you would say shit the bed, meaning like I would feel the same way. We go down there, we kind of just dribble back and forth, top of the key, passing it off between the guards. No one really looks like they know what to do. No one really looks like they want to take the shot. Then you get down to 3 or 4 seconds, 5 seconds on the shot clock. Whoever has it has to try to make a play. That's what you're talking about,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it seems, exactly. Seems like you've seen that before, Reed.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, exactly. Shit the bed. You the team cuts it to 2. You still have the lead. If you make a basket, you make it a 2-possession game, and you miss. You don't set up a good play. You don't do what you need to. You know, Adu gets that dunk block. I think he goes 1 for 2 there. I think I called it out a little earlier. Texas bucket. Then Adu is the one to take in the ball on the other end. And then they foul him. He makes both. So it was like Texas scores, cuts the lead. We go down, we score 2 points. Texas scores again. Great play at the rim. We go down, score points. Texas comes, they try something. Josiah Jordan James, great defense, great rebound, jump ball, our ball. Like Texas, you know, we go down the other side. We set up great plays for ourselves. We get to the foul line. Adu goes 1 for 2. Texas has another opportunity. We play great defense. We get the ball back. We throw it into Adu. What does he do? He makes his baskets.
Making the plays when they needed to be made.
Just as soon as Texas would get a little life, make a basket, get a little bit closer to us, make it a 1-possession game, we would go down there and make some points. Whether that's through a play, whether that's through a foul, we were creating opportunities for points. And then you just play shutdown D, and Adu goes 2 for 2. Dalton Connect goes 2 for 2. Dalton Connect goes 2 for 2. And that's our last 6 points of the game. And it's just at the foul line, just making every single one of them. That right there is nothing I thought would happen. So it makes me that much more excited that it did. I thought Dalton might be a liability in the tournament with his free throw shooting because he wasn't that great over the year. He was only like 70%. He's a great shooter, but wasn't good at free throws, and it just seemed kind of odd. What happens in a very important game? He makes all 4 that he needs to at the end. Adu, 65% free throw shooter. He literally just went 1 for 2 30 seconds before, goes up to the line, makes both. And it's just like the team is stepping up when they need to step up. And I don't know if I've seen that before in a Tennessee basketball team.
So,
and now I'm seeing it.
So transition, great win. It's amazing to get to the second round, or excuse me, to the second weekend. I'm happy we beat Texas, because a couple of those boys on Texas were really starting to piss me off. So I can't stand their coach. So if we had lost, I would have been very frustrated. I don't know how you feel, but I am very nervous to play against Creighton. I'm even maybe going into it. I know Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite, but I even go into it thinking not as a Tennessee bias, oh, I'm worried we're going to lose. I think if I had to bet and put money on it, based on what I've seen, I think Creighton wins. I like the way they
play. As a basketball fan.
If I'm just watching it, if I know Tennessee's had a great year, and the only thing I've seen of Creighton is literally their last game. So yeah. I've watched Creighton play all year. I've seen Creighton play once. But I know how Tennessee shooting has been for the past, like I said, 5-6 games. It's just not, it's not been where we need it. Mm. And I truly feel like, I truly feel that, and this is the time of year where it has, this is the time of year where you have to have it, no matter if you're Tennessee or Creighton or, you know, anybody else, you have to play some of your best games of the year. It's very rare that you can play like we did against Texas and still come away with a win. But like I said, Texas didn't shoot well. They turned it over. Anyways, this is the game where we do need Dalton to go for 22-25+. And then you're going to have Double Z, Jonas, or Triple J or Gainey to get 10-12, or a couple of them to have that 10-12. Because if not, I think it's going to be a tough, tough road to sled. And so that's why I'm going into it thinking that I'll be more excited if we win, because I don't think we are going to win. And that's not me. That's not me doing the, oh, I'm just saying that because I really want us to. I generally think that Creighton's not a great matchup for us. And number 11 down low is an absolute hoss. I love how he plays the game. I am going to get really pissed off at their number one, the little baby guy who looks like a 14-year-old. He's their little guard. And so it will be impressive and fun to watch him and Double Z go back and forth, because they're a lot of the same players. But this guy also looks like he's a middle school, private school kid with his little hair and his faux hawk. And I just want to, like, pick him up and dump him. But I don't know how much you've seen of Creighton, but the way they play the game, and I think it's a tall, tough – it's weird to say. I think it's a tall task for Tennessee when they're favored. And we have an All-American on our team, but just the way we've been playing and AK shooting the ball and putting it in the rack, I don't know. I just – that makes me nervous. If we're having a shooting slump like that, I don't see how we can overcome it again.
I get it. I there's only so much great defense that you can play. I mean, you're going to get worn the hell out. And you're going to mess up. Stuff's going to happen. So you got to make your baskets when they're given to you. And yeah, I mean, that worries me. It the shooting slump definitely worries me moving forward. I don't know how I feel. I'm not as nervous, but maybe it's because the weight of the first weekend is off the shoulders that making it through there, right? You don't want to be the laughingstock Kentucky. Like, there wasn't a lot of upsets that this weekend. Kentucky was probably the biggest one. So it's like, now that that's weight is lifted, I feel a little bit better, a little more positive going to Creighton. But I'm with you. If we cannot make shots, we're not going to win this game. Like, it's just not going to happen. And then I think Tennessee has to play a – pretty much perfect game to beat Purdue right now in the way Purdue is playing.
Don't get me started with Purdue. I can't
and
watch
Zach Edey. It's just – it's ridiculous. They depend on him, 7-4, down low, does his little turn hook, and everyone is fouling him apparently, every single person.
that's what gets me. He's not a bad, I mean, he's a good basketball player. I know we're all saying he's just tall and that's why he's so good. No, he's got some absolute skill to him. So I respect that, but I can't respect the fact that if someone farts and it blows in his direction and he gets a call, I can't watch it. I was trying to watch some of their game on the way on the car ride home. And I watched 3 minutes of it. I said, I'm done with this. I said, I'm not watching the whistle fest. And so,
yeah, I'm just sitting here going, I don't know what Adu and Waka do with this guy. I have no idea what they can do to get to defend him and not foul him. Like, it's almost impossible. Yeah.
Double in front is the best thing. Hell, we need to get Dane Bradshaw back, because that I used to feel like when I was a child watching him, he was like the greatest fronter ever. He was damn 6'4", and he'd play a guy that's like 6'9", but they couldn't get the ball, so they couldn't score on him. But Kyler, it's tough too, because I made the comment that Tennessee's been ranked as a top 5, top 10 team all year. And here we are again, where we could be put out at the Sweet 16. And at some point, you have to, well, I guess you don't have to, because Rick Barnes is going to still have his job either way, but it would be nice to solidify the regular seasons that you've had with one good tournament. And I don't think one good tournament run's much to ask. I mean, I thought Auburn would do much better this tournament. They got upset, and that was pretty surprising to me. But you know what? Bruce Pearl's also won 2 SEC tournament championships. He's also been to a Final Four. He has a little bit, and I'm bringing Bruce up because I love Bruce, and he's one of our old coaches. But I'm just giving an example. Yeah, he got upset by Yale, but 3-4 years ago, he's got him in the Final Four. So you got a little bit more sweat equity.
Exactly. Yeah. You got a little bit more leeway.
Yes, exactly. What do you think? What's your opinion? I'm going Creighton. Unfortunately, I don't want that.
If I had to bet, I would bet Tennessee.
Really?
But, man, I'm nervous.
Okay.
Man, I'm sweating that bet. Sweating that bet.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Me too.
You're going to be – up for the game. It's 9 o'clock your time.
Yeah, I might be laying in bed while I'm watching it, but yeah, you know, I'll watch it.
See, you check out the Tighten Up hat, baby. I had to rock it. A lot of news been going on with my Titans.
That's right. We're moving on up. We gotta get a new quarterback.
You can't stand Will, bro. You cannot stand Will. I'm just happy, you know, we got money to spend. Spend it. Not my money. Go out and get people. And I love me Legarius Sneed. I love me some Legarius Sneed.
I know you'd love that.
See you, brother.
All right, brother. Okay, thank you guys so much for watching and listening. If you are watching, please like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, leave a comment. If you're just listening, rate and review, download and re-download. And then follow us on all those listening platforms that you might be using. Also follow us on social media at Pancakes and Bacon on Twitter for our main account, at Pancakes and Bacon _RTI on Instagram, at RBacon26 for Reed, and then at Kyler Kurvison for myself on all socials. So check us out there. Again, very much appreciate you guys. Love the fandom. Let's try and win some more games here, Ricky B. And as always, go Vols.